fit for life. Your biblical pathway to success. Make this year your best year by studying to show yourself approved. Join us in our new Fit for Life classes to follow your biblical pathway to success. This is a class for everyone, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fit for Life class.
And welcome to Fit for Life. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing this morning. It's a great blessing to see each and every one of you. It really is, truly. And as we strive to grow the class, continue to increase, let me just encourage you to just touch someone and ask them, hey, let's be a part of what's going on down there, because really there's some great things coming from there, some good teaching, stuff that we apply to our lives every single day as we go out and do our jobs, raise our families, interact with our friends. So it's very important that we become a community where we come together and learn. It is, to me, and Lord, this is kind of like our home group in a way. You know, we see your faces in our minds throughout the week, and we lift you up and pray for you. And we ask God to be with you and to guide you. It's very important to us. You are important to us. But more importantly, you're important to God. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, very good. Also, next week we have Pastor Bruno, our student pastor. He will be coming in next week and teaching. I encourage you to come and join that. I'm really excited to hear Pastor Bruno. I've heard his heart several times from the platform as he shared, or we're in the corridor for an event and he's sharing. So I know he's going to bring a spirit-filled teaching. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, this month, of course, our theme has been fighting the good fight of faith. So we're going to drill down today and we're going to continue to focus on faith. You know, this series started with Pastor Nancy, where she taught about the science of faith. Remember, she talked about the physics, what was that called? Quantum physics. Thank you, Tracy. Quantum physics. Last week, Pastor Lydia came with a powerful message of fighting the good fight of faith. Today, I want to talk to you about having great faith. So, great faith. This study today is really personal to me, because what I'm going to share with you is something that I learned along my way in life, through business, through family, through marriage. And I find it very worthy to share. I find I pray that I leave. She's back there. I pray that I deposit some nuggets in your life that you can take some of these things that I show you today through scripture. And we're going to break down a scripture today that can be applied to help you walk in great faith. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We welcome you into this place. God, we ask that your spirit move in a mighty way through me and through the people that are here. Father God, I thank you for what you have given me to deliver today, what you have taught me through this process of studying. And Lord, let this work be known and that it touches the hearts of the people. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, today we are going to open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 15, and we're going to be studying through verses 21 through 28. You can also find this story in the book of Mark in Scripture, chapter 7, 24 through 30. Has everybody got their Bibles and everything open? I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and we're going to be in Matthew. So the word says, leaving that place. Now Jesus, of course, had been ministering in Galilee. He had just been confronted with Pharisees in regards to his disciples eating with unclean hands. And Jesus talked about it's not what goes into the body, but it's what comes out from the mouth and from the heart. So he decided, listen, guys, let's get out of here and let's leave. And they withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sodom. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But the woman came and knelt before the Lord. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And here your daughter was healed that very hour. Amen. Well, I want to break this down a little bit. And let's go back from the beginning and let's look at verse 21. The word says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. I want you to underline the word region. Region. This is very significant. This woman had heard about the miracles that was going on in Israel. She understood that there was a man that was performing great and mighty miracles and teaching people something they've never heard before. You could actually find in Matthew, Mark 3, 8, that scripture showing us that, and I'll read it, when they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judah, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan to the east, and all around Tyre and Sidon. So the word of Jesus was out. She knew. So region to me means this woman was at the right place at the right time. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. She heard that he was there. And that's why it's so important that she made her way to him, because she was at the right place at the right time. And I'll tie this in at the end of the message. Then in verse 22, it goes on, and the Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. Underline, came to him in your Bible. That is, the word I'm using is seeking. She came to him. She was seeking God. The thing that was interested, or the Lord, the thing that was interested is that she identified him as Son of David. Great significance. This woman understood his identity and his authority. What is interesting was that earlier on, the Pharisees confronted Jesus concerning that his disciples weren't washing their hands before they eat. They didn't have a clue. They didn't identify him. They didn't understand his authority. But here you have a Gentile woman miles and miles away from where Jesus had been ministering. She understood it through the stories. Also understand, too, that she had some knowledge of Old Testament prophecies. This region that she was in was traveled due to commerce, people doing business in and out of that city. So you can understand that through the years, she could hear some stories and understand that, hey, there's something here. And then as she learned that the Lord was doing these things, and she then found out that he was in town, she couldn't help but say, I've got to go seek this man out. The other thing in her recognizing him was that she recognized him as the promised Messiah. She understood that Jesus came from the line of King David. And it was her declaration in calling out Jesus, Son of David, a form of her faith and a plea for mercy. Amen? So we go on from there, and we pick up that she, asking for the mercy, she says, my daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. The next word I want you to write down is intercession. She came to Jesus with faith of intercession in her heart. Intercession, intercessory prayer is praying not for yourself, but for other people. In this particular case, her daughter was demon-possessed terribly. We don't know how long. Scholars don't share with you how long or even how she came possessed. I can only imagine, though, living in a pagan culture, worshiping multiple gods, living a life of sin, it could be something that you can imagine easily happening. Amen? But in her cry of intercession, she was crying for her mercy, she was crying for her daughter, and she was crying to Jesus in this powerful way of demonstrating her faith. Her love and compassion for her daughter was evident. This is what we say in church at times. We are standing in the gap. Mama was standing in the gap for her daughter through intercession. You see, through faith, she came before Jesus with intercession, crying out. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." The next word you're going to use is persistence. She kept crying out. Now, some people may go, "Why was Jesus so harsh with this lady?" That wasn't his heart. His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways, and I'll show you. But in her persistence, Jesus knew what was in the woman's heart. He also, through that not answering, was wanting her faith to grow. She came with a form of faith. She came with a portion of faith. But Jesus didn't answer. He didn't move. The other thing was to give his disciples a teachable moment. You see, the disciples were wanting to send her away because, one, she was unclean. She's a Canaanite. Two, she was a woman. And three, where she stood in society, the bottom of the bottom. Amen? So the disciples were a little bit, hey, we're not doing this. And of course, Jesus said, "Hey, I didn't come for you." But the lady knew. The lady knew. By Jesus answering this woman was the foreshadow of the gospel going into all the world. It was Jesus moving her time in advance. It was Jesus being Jesus, not in the first hour, but in the 12th or the 18th or the 24th hour. She continued to be persistent. She continued to cry out. She was not going to give up because she knew that Jesus had more than enough. He had more than enough, not only to come for Israel, but to impact her life right then, right there at that moment. Amen? Persistence. Verse 24 and 25. And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But the woman came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." "Help me," she said. I want you to put down on this point is faith through worship. She came and knelt down before God. And she said, "Lord, help me. Help me. I can't do this. I can't do this. I worship you, God. I surrender you right now. Please help me." So faith through worship. Verse 26, 27. And he replied, "It is not right. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." But she says, "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even dogs eat the crumbs from the master table." She understood where she was in society. She understood the culture she was living in. She understood where she stood at that time, who she was. So when she made that statement, she humbled herself before God. She humbled herself before the Lord. That's a key component. I've given you now two key nuggets: worship, humility. If you want to walk in great faith, I'm telling you, if you want to walk in great faith, worship and humility. Some of us may say, "Well, we need to humble ourselves before we go to the Lord." Amen. We must. In this case, this lady understood where she was. She knew that she had to get a breakthrough. So she went before God. How many times have we heard preachers say, "If you got an issue, praise him. If you need something, worship him." And through that process, what do we find ourselves doing? Yielding to him. Surrendering to him. Humbling ourselves before God. Amen. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The next point is the faith point. As I said earlier, she believed that Jesus could meet her needs and that Jesus had more than enough and that she was not going to leave until those needs were met. She was not going to go anywhere. How many times do we find ourselves giving up? Number 8, answered prayer. Your request has been granted. Her daughter was healed. And as I said, it was a foreshadow of God sharing the gospel to the entire world. Now, very simple. How does this apply to us? The last point was answered prayer. So let me give them to you from the top and then we'll close out. I know it's a little early, but we got time. So region is the first point. Getting ourselves in the right place. Second is seek God. Third, in this case, was intercession. But we also, in that third step, instead of interceding as she did for her daughter, we bring our request to God. We bring that request to the Lord. Amen? Then once we bring our request to God, we persist. Now, I was trained that when we lift a need up to the Lord, I'm not the one that continuously begs God for that need. I go from saying, "Lord, I need this," to now, "Lord, I thank you for this. I am thankful that you will meet my need according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I know you'll meet my needs." And listen, if that need doesn't come, you got to understand that maybe your heart wasn't right, or it's not your timing. Yeah. It's not the time at all. That thing may have fallen into your heart that you're like, "Oh man, I want to do this," but it's not your time. You're not mature enough spiritually. Could be. Maybe the motives behind what you're wanting to do is not right, of course. But I always thank him. Here's a little story. And I always relate things to my business. But as I am at the car business and I'm at an auction. And let's just say there's a particular vehicle coming through the auction lane. Have you guys seen Barrett Jackson and all the different cars? No, nothing like that. Okay, you guys aren't car people. So, but the little car comes in. You got an auctioneer up there going, you know, and you're like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah," and all that going on. Okay. Yeah. Well, there are times that I'm bidding on a car and I hear the auctioneer say his number and I think I'm the guy that he's saying the number about. like 32,000 looking for 33,000, okay? And I think I'm the $32,000 guy. And then he says, sold, and he points to a different guy. So I have to go and turn my mind and say, okay, that car wasn't for me. God knew better. He knew that that was not for me. That car was for that guy. Because it would be so easy to get upset with the guy that's the auctioneer guy, getting upset with the guy that's on the floor taking the bids to help the auctioneer guy, going to the manager, getting mad at the manager because that guy didn't see you. So you just have to know that there's going to be days that we bring our request, and it's going to take a minute. That's why we have to be patient. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen? Because you, I mean, and that's a promise right there. Lacking nothing. Just like all things work together. You know? Lacking nothing. We will lack nothing. Amen? All right. From persistence, we have our worship, which is key, key, key. Because listen, Jesus did not answer the prayer until she came and worshiped him. That's what the word is saying to me, that she came and knelt down. It's a form of worship. The sixth thing was she humbled herself. She knew that she wasn't, you know, better than her situation, whatever. And then her faith. Remember her faith. She believed that Jesus could meet her needs. We as believers but know that God can meet our needs. There's not one need he can't meet. He'll meet every one of your needs. Every one. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about that. You know, and through the years in business, I've had to learn that God's my source, because there's some weeks, like just this last week, let me tell you that as simple as it may be coming in and teaching our class in this, the devil don't want me to do it. And he gave me a hell of a week. It was not easy. But I continued to push and would not let those distractions. I even came under attack last night. And I got another story to share with you, and I didn't really want to get into this, but he won't let this out of my mind. And I asked Lori the other day too, what do you think about this? But let me share this with you. I don't think many of you know about this. In 2015, I was still racing dirt bikes. I raced dirt bikes all my life. Early on in my life, that's what I did for a living. Dirt bikes and race cars. My life was consumed and around racing, very competitive kind of guy. In 2015, I was up in Decatur, Texas at a race. And I had a very, very bad crash. And was taken to the hospital and was diagnosed with a severe concussion. Now, through my career, I had had multiple concussions, but this is one of the worst ones. And I think it's because as you get older, your body kind of breaks down. Well, it was about 7 to 8 weeks later. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had the worst headache in my life. I mean, my head was hurting. I could barely see. I thought it was just a migraine or some sort of sinus infection or something, you know. So I came home that day, got up early Saturday morning. I'm feeling lousy, went and made payroll. And then from there, Laura and I went and looked at a piece of real estate. Well, when we were looking at this piece of real estate, we were about to leave. I'm like, where's my keys? Where's my keys? I couldn't hardly get my hand. I couldn't hardly use my hand. I couldn't find anything. So we went home and I went to bed and I laid in my bed. What, 4 days? 4 days. That's not me. I missed a good friend's funeral. I was just terrible. And Laura's like, this is not my husband. So we went to my general practitioner. He scheduled a CT scan. And when we came out of the CT scan, they told Laura, because by this time I am out of it. I'm still moving, I'm mobile, I'm okay, but I'm just breaking down. So they told Laura, you need to take him to the hospital. Well, we get to the hospital, and they're like, you are experiencing what we call a subdural hematoma in your brain. My brain was bleeding. I had a really bad brain bleed from the concussion. And what happens is, in that situation, is say I hit you real hard in your shoulder. So the day I went to the hospital, the doctor saw that my shoulder was red. But in a matter of a few days later, your shoulder bruises from that slug I gave you. That's basically what happened to my brain. And then it began developing a bad brain bleed. So the Lord takes me to the hospital. The hospital said, we can't do anything for you here. So they sent an ambulance. Now, keep in mind, my wife is like, but she has faith. Let me tell you, I watched all this unfold before my eyes when I came to. But so they rushed. anyway, they said that we can't help you here. And the Lord goes, well, where do you want me to take him? And they're like, you can't take him anywhere. I mean, he's this close. So the ambulance came and got me from that particular hospital and took me to a neural medical center where you have these brain surgeons and special therapy people and, I mean, the whole thing. So I was admitted immediately and sent to ICU. And they started pumping a bunch of drugs into my body to relieve this pressure I felt on my brain, on my head. It was terrible. Anyway, praise God. So I was there a couple days. I was there 2 days. They did the surgery. I was in ICU. And the Lord rose me up out of that bed. I told the doctors and the nurses, what do I got to do to get out of here? I feel a whole lot better. So instead of getting out of there in 10 to 15 days, I was out in a total of 6 days. I was released from ICU. But it was the prayer of my wife, the prayer of the people that were in our network. At that time, the church family we were connected with. And so, Laura Marie was an example of what I shared with you today. You know, my wife is a great woman of God. And that was one of many experiences that this lesson applied to our lives. And I pray that it will apply to yours. I do want to, though, share a Smith Wigglesworth quote. Something that I thought was pretty good. And I'm going to read it to you. Listen closely. If you will take a step of faith and use your general faith you have as a Christian, when you come to the end of that faith, very often, supernatural faith will take over and kick in. The reason it hasn't happened like this for a lot of folks is because they don't use what they have already been given. Let that not be you and I. Let that not be us. Let us be people of faith. Let us be found as people of great faith. Let us be found people that are not afraid to worship God in public or humble ourselves before the King. Let us go and touch people who are in need and share that faith. Let's share the faith of the gospel of Christ. Let's share the greatness of God, the goodness of God that we have and we experience to those out there who need us. So may I encourage you, as I look through the room, I see a mighty, mighty, mighty great group of people who are people of great faith. So take this little story of the Canaanite woman. You have your notes. When you find yourself falling a little short of what you have been given, apply some of these principles and let the supernatural into your natural, as Pastor Tiz tells us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. And Father, I feel strong that this message applied to our lives will change a lot of situations, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Now, Father, today I ask you that you bless us and keep us, that you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us, and that you lift up your countenance and give us peace. Father, I pray that righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit consume us, the kingdom of heaven, and that we are like a tree planted by the streams of living water, that our leaves never wither, and that we produce fruit in every season. And wherever we shall go, whatever our hands shall touch, will be blessed. I ask this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.